Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back and up and running here on a Monday morning, Monday, March the 9th, 2026, 3926, 18 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And I hope everybody survived the time change over the weekend. We sprung ahead an hour early Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, this is the best, worst time change that we have out of the two. Because it's good in that it does stay daylight until about 8 o'clock at night now. But it is bad because when you lose an hour in a day, it throws people off incredibly. This morning, people were getting up in the dark. They were kind of lackadaisical. They were lethargic. People were not on the roads like they normally are between 7 and 8 o'clock. When I got to the building here, the doors had not been unlocked yet. I think everybody's just running a little bit behind. Even when I was getting up this morning, when I looked at the clock, I thought, you know, is it really time to get up already? When you lose an hour, it throws the whole body chemistry off. So I hope everybody's doing okay, and we're up and running, and we're here doing the show on Monday morning. Now, we had a lot of fun on Friday. We gave away $100, a $100 gift card to Kroger on Friday. We did trivia all Friday morning. We had over 100 entrants. I don't know how many phone calls we had over the five-hour period, but it was a lot of fun. Our winner was Ted Jolliffe on Friday morning, and he very graciously donated his gift card to our dear friend, longtime courtesy clerk, Bagger, at Kroger South here in Marion Chip. And on Saturday, I went out to the Meadows here in Marion. I know Chip was at the Meadows because of another one of our longtime listeners, John, had said Chip was out there. We went out to the Meadows and delivered the $100 gift card to Chip, and he was very excited. And thanks, Ted, for donating that gift card to Chip. He was very excited, and Chip is doing well, I'm happy to report. He's feeling good. He had a seizure. That's why he's in the Meadows right now. He's not there permanently, but he is recouping, and he looked good, sounded good, was having a good time when I saw him on Saturday. He was having his lunch and watching the basketball game. So Chip says hello to everybody, and he said he was going to try to tune in this week. So Chip, anytime you'd like to call in, please feel free. 740-383-9944. And we thank Ted and Carol Jolliffe for donating that gift card to Chip. And I know Chip was very excited about it. And we had a good time on Friday, like I said, doing the trivia. It was, we have to do current events. We have to keep people abreast of what's going on because there aren't just that. There aren't a whole lot of sources doing that anymore. But it is fun every so often to just have a fun morning and do some trivia. And we will do some more of that as the week goes along because we do have some tickets to the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast, a Marion tradition, 67 years, which will be taking place this Saturday that we need to give away this week. So we will do that. We'll have some more fun with trivia at some point this week. Now, I also wanted to mention, because everybody likes to know when things are coming to Marion, I had said last week that I had it on very good authority that Culver's Restaurant, a famous ice cream place, is coming to Route 95 out by Meyer. And wouldn't you know it, I believe it was Friday morning, the first time I saw this, they are surveying the land right next to the Tri-Rivers child care facility, which is right out in front of Meyer. It's where the old Ryan's and Ponderosa was, and they are surveying that area. So I'm guessing that's where Culver's is going to be. I don't know where else it would be in that area. And as I said, I have it on pretty good authority that that is what is coming there. I think, as I already said this morning, we will be giving away tickets to Kiwanis Pancake Day as the week goes along. Now, City Council tonight, full City Council meeting, 6:30 tonight, City Hall. I don't know how this is going to go because I don't know if the mayor's back or not. Hard to say at this point. He was on vacation last week. We really have not seen the mayor since he wrote his letter on how to fix the city's financial issues about 2 weeks ago now. Last week, none of it was brought up in committee meetings, raising the sanitation bills or getting rid of curbside recycling or raising the transit fees. None of that was mentioned last week during committee meetings. So I guess we'll see what happens this week. Is it going to be brought up on matters not on the agenda? Will it be popular? Will people show up? I don't really know. I guess we'll find out tonight at the City Council meeting, 6:30 at City Hall, second floor. Now, that being that, that's pretty well the big news of the morning. As I have it, phone lines are open. It's 23 and a half minutes past the hour. Feel free to buzz in if you have anything on your mind this morning that you'd like to comment on in regard to anything I just ran down there, or if there's something else on your mind, feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm anxious to see what happens at City Council tonight, because it is a full meeting, and I would have to guess at some point somebody's going to bring up these ideas that were in the mayor's letter. I would think the mayor himself would bring them up at some point. Will the elimination of curbside recycling after 41 years, will that be popular? I don't know. Most people would feel that that would not be popular, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't think raising the bus fares is going to go over as a very popular idea. But again, I guess we'll have to wait and see who introduces what. Go ahead, Colin.
Love your city.
Yes, as we always do.
I'm hoping that Twyla Lang has made some progress, because I'd like to hear the response that someone had requested of her to enumerate the waste, fraud, and abuse. So hopefully we'll have some news about that, if she's gotten a hold of that and can enlighten us all.
Well, you know, that was brought up, I don't believe it was last week, I think it was 2 weeks ago that was brought up, but she did not respond, so I think it just kind of died there that night.
Well, hopefully it won't. I mean, she made the assertion, and that's what she was going to do, and, you know, hopefully she can shed some light on some of the things that she is working on, and if she's pursuing waste, fraud, and abuse.
Why do you think, I'm still trying to figure this out, why do you think the mayor released this very detailed two-page letter on how to fix the city's finances on a Thursday, right before he went on vacation, was not at committee meetings the following Monday, and none of this legislation was introduced at any of the committees last Monday? Nobody talked about it. Nobody brought it up. The timing of all of that is just very strange, and the fact that not a soul, not a person on council last week who was there for the committee meetings ever uttered a word. It was almost as if that letter did not come out the week before.
Oh, man. I would like to know where the mayor got his degree in economics. Where did he pull this from? Did he do it on his own? Did he have people advise him, okay, cut here, cut here, cut here? And then, like you say, why would he do that? You would think he would be proud enough to stand up and go through the whole plan that he apparently dropped as he left for vacation.
Well, that's the odd thing. I mean, you know, if he believes this is going to work, that's fine. He already did raise the storm sewer rates before he went on vacation. We know that getting rid of the out-of-city tax credit for people who work outside the city will have its second reading tonight. So none of that really needs to be touched. He does have the power, I believe, to raise the sanitation rates on his own. Now, that was proposed in the letter, but, you know, nothing has happened with that as of yet. Nobody talked about it on Monday. And then the two things I do believe he needs council's help and support with are getting rid of curbside recycling after 41 years and raising the bus fares 75 cents. But nobody brought it up. There was no legislation that was put through committee. Nothing. And he wasn't even there himself. So I don't know why you would release that documentation, that outline of what you want to do, and knowing you're not going to be there the following Monday, and knowing there's no legislation for any of the committees. I just, it's a very odd circumstance.
Well, we have a very odd mayor.
Well, I don't know why he does the things he does. Maybe he was called out of town on an emergency. I don't know. You know, that's another thing.
You would think if he was going to be out of town for a period of time, or he would let other people that work closely with him, hey, I'm going to be going on vacation, et cetera, et cetera. You and you mind the shop while I'm gone, you know?
Well, that's one of the odd things about it. Usually, what used to happen when the mayor was not there is an acting mayor was appointed for meetings and things like that. And there wasn't even talk of why the mayor wasn't there. There was not talk of who the acting mayor was, which usually is the president of council. I mean, there was, and I don't even believe she was there last week, if I remember right. So I really don't get that. But again, this is the stuff that seems to plague this administration as time goes along. And to go back, you know, last year when this all first hit the fan and we found out that the fire station was going to be delayed, the mayor said he was going to revisit that in March. Well, here's March, and it's not over yet. Maybe we'll hear something tonight, but there hasn't been a whole lot of talk about that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this, this is why it is so important to do your homework the best you can when it's time to vote, and to go vote for viable candidates and put pressure on both parties to field candidates. Don't just have one for one particular position. We need to have more. And both parties, shame on them for not cultivating a stall of viable candidates and educating them with continuing education so that people can vote in confidence.
So did you survive the time change? Okay, that's the big news of the... I could not believe how lethargic people were this morning. Route 95 was not as busy as it normally is. Like I said, the door on this building was not unlocked when I got here this morning. People seem to be an hour behind, which I guess you would be. This is the more difficult time change.
Well, I just wish you'd get rid of, quote, daylight savings time. There's never been any more daylight or any less daylight. We're just changing our clocks 1 hour. Farmers, I don't think it really matters because they're up at the crack of dawn, so on and so forth. So, you know, there was, geez, I don't know how long ago it's been, and we're going to get rid of daylight savings time because it showed they weren't saving energy or something to that effect.
Well, it did start out as something that had to do with agriculture, but I was told years ago that one of the reasons that nobody will ever vote to get away from it is because of schools. Because in the winter, before they go on winter break for Christmas, it's dark in the morning. And if they do not fall back in October, that's why they shorten daylight savings time. It almost used to be 6 months, 6 months. Now daylight savings time is the majority of the year. So it's so the kids do not have to get on the bus when it's dark or be in school when it's dark. That's why we fall back in the fall. And then but people like it staying daylight until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So that's why we spring ahead.
Isn't that going to make these kids afraid of the dark?
Well, no, I just think it's the danger. At the bus stops in the morning, people walking to school, that's what they, cars possibly running into people. People are very serious about that.
Well, I think with that kind of logic, gee whiz, it's raining and thundering outside. Hey, no school. Kid might get hit by lightning. You know, this is a bunch of things to worry about that really you should be concerned but not worried about. So I'm going to let somebody else call in. Hey, do a better tomorrow.
All right, thank you. All right, 740-383-9944. But if you think about it, most people prefer the time change that we're on now, the one that happened yesterday. People like this because it stays daylight until 8 or 9 o'clock at night, depending on what time of year it is when we get into spring and summer. But if you stayed on this schedule, if you stayed on this setup, it would be dark until about 10 o'clock in the morning in December. I mean, think about it. If we did not fall back in the fall, it would still be dark at 10 o'clock in the morning in December. So that's one of the reasons, but onward and upward. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
I'm good. We all survived the time. You know, I survived it rather well. Sometimes it's kind of brutal when you lose that hour, but I'm okay this morning.
I'm always up early anyway, but this morning when I woke up and it was 5, it would have really been 4 yesterday. So at 4 a.m. I probably would have tried to roll over and go back to sleep, but psychologically in my mind, 5 a.m. is a good wake-up time. Does that make sense?
Well, and
so
I think
I got up.
Yeah. I basically had the same issue this morning.
Yeah, 5 a.m. is an acceptable hour to start drinking coffee. 4 a.m. is a little questionable, so you still lay there. But technically, I got up. What would have been 4 a.m. yesterday, or the day before. I don't know. What day is it? Where am I?
I know. Well, and that's what happens when this time change happens, because a lot of people don't work on Sunday, so it really doesn't hit them until Monday that everything is all screwed up. And it really does screw with your body. The fall back, you get an extra hour. So even though the daylight changes, it doesn't really screw with the body mechanics. But when you take away an hour of sleep, which essentially...
It's astounding what an hour can do to you, isn't it?
Well, yes. And I think it's a big hour because it throws off the whole body chemistry. Because, like this morning, I was getting ready in the dark. But normally,
well,
that would not have been the case.
A bus stop down the street from me, so I look out. I have cameras all over my house. I can see it from my couch because the camera faces that direction. So I'm an advocate of sending the kiddies to school in the daylight because I see how the idiots drive. And I know Terry thinks that people should use common sense, but Terry, buddy, come on now. We should be at a point in our lives where we realize not everyone is as blessed as us to have the amount of common sense that just oozes from us the way it does. So we've got to account for those that like to speed through intersections where kids stand in the dark.
Well, I'll tell you something funny. A lot of people think it has to do with younger kids, but here's an anecdote that is absolutely true. If anybody drove down 95 Saturday night or last night, they would have noticed that the Kroger lights on the front of the building and in the parking lot were not on.
That messed stuff up, didn't it?
Well, it did, and people were not... I don't know if they got that problem worked out or not, but, you know, that's in the Walmart Plaza. So there are other lights in the parking lot, but the front of the building and the parking lights in the parking lot did not come on Saturday night or last night. And I will tell you that the last bagger, who I think probably usually goes out, I'm not there that late, they probably usually go out about 9:30 to get whatever carts are left in the...
You're not sending me out that dark parking lot to get nothing.
With the lights out, they would not... Mm-hmm. And these are high school kids.
You can take your minimum wage and shove it. Out in the dark.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I think that
and that's who's out walking in the mornings, because I see them.
Right.
So I see the 16 and 17 year olds out walking in the streetlights to have to get on the bus before 7 a.m.
Right, and I think that's really why it'll never be done away with. It really has nothing to do with agriculture anymore. Mary out there this morning
is... Speaking of agriculture, nice segue, but yes,
yeah,
Mary.
Yeah, Mary's saying, I hate the time change. If they would just leave it, I wish they would just leave it one way or another. And I think for all us people who are not walking to the bus, it's probably, we would just like it to stay one way or the other.
Yes. So maybe, I don't know, there's got to be a solution to that pressing issue, because it does have an effect on us, and it'll have an effect on us for a couple of days. But you said agriculture, Spears, and that was a nice segue. Do we want to talk about school bus stops, or do we want to talk about the breaking news in Marion County?
Well, I think I know where you're going with this. I think I saw a little bit of this, so...
Okay, well, I found this out, and I think it's just based on everything that's gone on recently with the error situation and the police officer that was arrested, and just how quick Grogan has been to jump the gun on these press releases and slam dunk cases and justice must be served. Well, there's a situation that has been completely, completely quiet that I think everybody should know about that doesn't. And it has to do with a family member of Ken Stiverson, who was former Marion County Commissioner of 12 years, and he is currently running for County Commissioner again. He is also the Republican County Chairperson, and based on what I'm seeing on social media, looks to be pretty good friends with Ray Grogan. Well, his niece, who's a substitute teacher at River Valley, she worked at the middle school. Based on what I can figure out, she's probably about 22 or so years old, because based on when she graduated, she might be a little bit older than that. I'm not sure. I didn't, look up her birth certificate or anything. But she's a younger 20-something, and she was a substitute, full-time substitute at River Valley Middle School. And what that means is, well, you know what it means, but the listeners, you're a substitute. You're not technically considered a full-time employee by River Valley, but you do go there every single day. So you're there. You have a consistent schedule. You're just not considered a full-time employee yet. There was a letter sent out by River Valley in January, and it said that they had been made aware of inappropriate behavior between a staff member at the middle school and a high school student. Well, come to find out, that was made public. A story was made known about that. No follow-up was ever made. No follow-up was ever made because it's Ken Stiverson's niece. This is my opinion. Ken Stiverson's niece, she had bare minimum admitted to kissing a junior in high school while she was a teacher. She was carrying, it seemed like they were kind of carrying on a social media type relationship. Now the student says they met in Dunham's parking lot and had sex in his vehicle. She denied that. She did admit to social media exchanges. I believe that, I'm not going to go there because I don't have the letter in front of me. A lot of it was redacted, and it was hard to read because names were, minors and that sort of thing. But the minor sat in the superintendent's office and admitted to having sex with her. And then they sort of broke up after the Marion County Fair last year because things got weird. And all of that was passed on to the Marion County Sheriff's Office. She went ahead and resigned before there were any other disciplinary actions taken against her. And all of that happened well over a month ago. Did you hear anything about that on the news? Hear anything about Ray Grogan investigating a River Valley teacher having an inappropriate relationship with a student?
No, I didn't hear. Not from his office. But I wish I could remember this. But at some point, I I'm almost sure, and I'm because the school sent out a letter, didn't they?
Yeah, I looked it up. Kathy Laird wrote a story in Marion County.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Somebody did something. And mm-hmm. at the time, I remember thinking, the story itself was there just did not seem to be a whole lot of facts, and I didn't see a whole lot of facts in Kathy's story at the time.
Because the investigation had not happened. I went and looked at Kathy's story, and her story came out right around the time that River Valley said, we heard something and we're going to investigate.
Right.
Now there was an investigation, and those are the documents that were given to me. There was an investigation, and those were the documents that were not given to Kathy Laird or to anyone else. I don't want to say I know her, but Kathy talked to me when the situation happened with my mother. So I shot her a message this morning and said, hey, did they ever follow up with you on this? Because you said in your story that you were following up or that you would follow up. And she said, you know, she had been on it trying to follow up, but stonewalled by Grogan and the sheriff's office. She said River Valley was forthcoming, told her everything, and, you know, that story she got from them, they told her everything that she'd ever asked them, but she didn't realize that, you know, more had gone on and that someone had been that someone had resigned, and that, you know, at bare minimum, Stuyvesant's niece admitted to kissing the student, the boy, and having a textual relationship with him, which is inappropriate. And
how old was the boy?
Junior in high school.
Junior, so he's like 17.
17. My son is 16, and he should be a junior. He did an extra year of preschool. He had hearing issues. So, yeah, you're talking a 16-year-old boy, and I would whoop some ass. Me. But yeah, you got some 22-year-old woman. I don't care at that age you are a woman when you're coming around for my 16-year-old son. So yeah, maybe 17, but I'd whoop some ass then too. So that's who's running for county commissioner, and that's who the level of justice that we get in this county. If you got pictures posing with the county prosecutor, your family members don't get prosecuted for sex crimes against children. If your last name's Ratliff, or Ray needs to make a political statement and you're a cop, then you're going to get arrested immediately, and there's going to be a Facebook social media release to Columbus, to Marion, to everybody.
Well,
this is just getting, it's out of hand.
Well, here's the thing. Does anybody know the age of the girl? Because
she graduated in 2022. I looked up the state law, Scott. It is abundantly clear, and I looked it up based on what River Valley quoted. I didn't just come up with this on my own. The state law says even if the student has graduated and has been out of school for 12 months, so if that guy had been graduated for 13 months, she could have been making out with him. If he had been graduated for 11 months, it's a crime. It is a crime for a teacher to engage in any type of activity with a current student or former student of a year. And you don't have to be their teacher. You just have to be a teacher.
Right. So I guess the confusion that I have on this one, and I guess
it's
this
a felony,
is...
felony, Scott.
Well, I'm not... Listen, I...
If anything, can we just say that, like, maybe she shouldn't have her teaching license? That she should be removed from the teaching license list?
Here's the thing. This...
If substantiated...
Right. Well, here's the problem. There are a couple things about this that I do not understand. I don't understand. Okay, she graduated in 2022, 2023. So let's say she's 21 when that happens. Okay, so these allegations were made last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 2025. So we're talking, yeah, she's probably 21, 22, 23, somewhere in there. Okay, and she was still substituting. So, not employed.
She was a full-time substitute.
Right, but not employed by the district.
I mean, there probably wasn't a full-time position there for her, but she was working full-time for the district. She just didn't have full-time status.
Right, but not employed by the district.
You understand how that works. You get it. Right,
right, right.
Well, as a full-time sub, she was employed.
Right, but I think...
Yeah.
But I think...
She had a contract as a full-time sub. How's that?
Yes, yes. So, okay, so that's going on. That's one of the things. And
that's kind of nuanced stuff for you and I, though. I don't think other people right. skip the whole, yeah.
Well, and it also sounds to me that the school was aware of
this. The school
this.
Did, well, they did what they were supposed to do.
Well,
River
right.
Valley did what they were supposed to do.
But they it sounds like they did not fire her.
They were in the process of it, and she resigned. There was they sent her a letter on February 4th saying that they were going to have a disciplinary hearing, and on February 6th, she resigned.
Okay. So,
and let me tell you this. There's a guy named Ian Gordon who, at 21 years old, was having sex with a 17-year-old, and he went to prison for it.
Well, and again,
I, sexual conduct with a minor.
Right, and I'm not saying that's good or proper or that people should be doing that.
I'm not saying she should be sitting in prison either. I'm saying there should at least be an investigation, or maybe we should stop with the splashy press releases until we investigate everyone.
Well, here's the problem. I guess this is why this is the problem for me, and probably why you have not seen this in the Marion Star, because I'm sure they were made aware. People like to do tips. And you know, and I knew to some degree, I did not know it was any relation to Ken Stuyvesant, but, you know, Kathy put her story out there. And I think one of the reasons is because this goes on a lot more than people think. It's almost like suicide.
Teachers meeting students in parking lots and having sex with them goes on more often than we think. I'm glad my kid is homeschooled.
Well, let me say this.
My God.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't know. Most people don't go very far with these allegations, because normally what happens is somebody makes an allegation and they say the teacher did this, okay? And then they go to the teacher and they go back to the student, and sometimes the student says, well, no, that really didn't happen, and so on and so forth. And then there's never really ever any good evidence that would substantiate anything. And it doesn't sound...
If they say I did it, is that good evidence?
Well, yeah, but I don't think she said she had sex with him, did she?
She kissed him.
She kissed him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She kissed him.
Not inappropriate enough for you?
Well, no, I think that's probably not a good thing.
No, that's ass-whooping territory for this mom.
Right. But here's the... Let me put it this way.
Don't try to rationalize this, Scott, because if we were talking about a male teacher admitting to kissing a female student, this place would be up in arms.
Well,
Well,
no, I'm not saying that I'm rationalizing. I'm trying to understand why this happened and why it's a thing. Because here, I guess, is the problem. You know, and I'm not saying it's right at all. God knows it's not something I would think was okay. But the problem is that, okay, years ago...
21-year-old kids around 17-year-old kids?
Well, here's the thing. I guess this is the point I want to make. Because I thought about this when I first saw this. That when I first... Well, I wasn't when I first, but years, at least 20 years ago, let's put it that way. 20 years ago, one morning I got a call. I was at WMRN at the time, and I got a phone call from somebody at Ohio State saying that a professor was having...
relations.
Yeah, a relations with a student. And it was one of their students. It was not just a student on campus. It was one of their students. Now,
okay, well, that's inappropriate.
Inappropriate. So... And the professor was married, I believe, at the time.
Not a crime, though.
Not a crime, but she certainly could have received both of them.
Yeah.
Could have received
unethical.
Disciplinary actions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now,
but not sheriff action.
No. And then I thought back to during political campaigns when I would get a phone call and they would say, "Do you know such and such politician is involved in extramarital activity?" And
that's not news anymore in Marion, though.
It's not, but you know what? It never makes... People don't bring it out there. People don't splash it around. They still don't even splash it around on social media. It's just not something that's talked about. It's kind of in the back room. It's in the background.
The elephant in the room. How's that?
Right.
Something no one talks about.
Right. So there is
it's
that.
It's understood.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying... I guess when I say that this happens all the time... I'm sure this is not the first case of this happening. And how many times have we ever seen it reported anywhere? I can't think of one in recent times. So the problem is why is this one getting more attention than anything else?
This one got zero attention, and the reason it got zero attention is because the last name Stuyvesant.
Right, but then again,
you're telling me, okay, let's say that this was Ayers Ratliff, and he was a substitute teacher. Would this have been just left up to Marion City Schools to dismiss him?
Oh, no.
Or would the police department have been all over it in splashy press releases?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that this becomes the problem, is that when, I don't know why politics plays into everything, but when you are a politician, it's going to be a story. No matter what it is. And because she is, what, the granddaughter?
Niece,
excuse me. Because she is the niece of somebody running for office or somebody who has held
Stuyvesant.
Office. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It will get more attention.
He's also the local Republican chairperson. Let's not forget all of his ties to this. He runs the local Republican Party as well, which Grogan happens to be a part of.
Right, but I guess my question is
and
somebody
the chief of
gonna...
police is part of, and the sheriff is part of. I mean, if we're not starting to see this as more of a good old boys club than as a political party locally, we all need to open our eyes. Because there are two levels of justice in this town, and if the Ratliff and the Dameron case, and now this, if that does not prove it, then I'm sorry, but you're blind.
We
regular people do not stand a chance. If your last name is important enough, or you vote, or you donate, no problem. I've got a picture of the girl. I haven't decided what to do with it yet, but I've got a picture of the girl in some little ladies' get-together, and in the room sits Kiki Collins, that's Bale's wife, that's Anderson's wife, that's Amanda Wallace, who's the clerk of courts. You know, I mean, it's all the who's who of the Republican Party. And the girl who admitted to making out with an underage student and having a textual relationship with him, there she sits.
Well,
that doesn't look too tiered. I don't expect your opinion, but that looks especially too tiered to me.
Well, I guess here's what I'm saying.
If that had been Naomi Craig making out with a 16-year-old, you don't think my picture would be on the front page of the newspaper?
Well, see, I don't know exactly what the rubric is for reporting these things. But I guess what I'm saying is the...
That's what I'm saying, is maybe Grogan should lay off the splashy videos when people get arrested if he's going to do this kind of stuff.
Well, I guess... here's my point. Again, I'm not... I don't think that doing that if you're a teacher or a substitute is okay.
I don't believe that you do.
But what I'm saying is, I guess the two questions I have here, which is why this is a little nuanced, is, are people combing the five school districts to see if this is a common issue in Marion?
How many letters have you seen go out from school districts saying we're aware that teachers have had we are aware of allegations that teachers have had inappropriate relationships?
Well, I don't know in other districts. I don't know if it's happened
exactly.
or not.
I would follow up on a letter with that. I just found out about the letter. I didn't realize that letter had gone out.
And I guess the other thing is
it was not noticed. It never made it to a large enough news medium that people would know about it.
Right, but I guess the other thing is if her last name was not Stuyvesant, would it be a story today?
How many times do you see these teachers on the Columbus News that you've never heard of before with their mascara all smeared and crying because they were having sex with an eighth grader? Now, I'm not saying that's what she did because that's not the allegations, but it seems to me we're hearing more and more stories of female teachers having relationships with male students, because I'm always like, what the hell do you see in a teenager? They're dirty and smelly and all, you can't feed them enough. I mean, what would you find appealing about that? So, I mean, it seems to me that I'm hearing them more and more, and they don't seem to be politically motivated. It just seems to me one issue, and this is completely off the topic, when you're getting like 22-year-olds around 17-year-olds, they're all on social media and Snapchatting each other and everything else, the line between professionalism and social life is very blurred at that age. And that might be some of the problem, the reason why we're seeing teachers having sex with students more often.
I'm not making excuses. No, and it's absolutely wrong. And by the way, somebody out here listening this morning says any grown adult finding a teenager in high school attractive and acting on that is creepy. A teacher doing that is criminal and shows a huge lack of judgment. Absolutely. Absolutely. No disagreement about that. But what I'm saying is...
So where's the press release, Spears, I guess, is my big thing.
Well, and I guess that's the point I'm driving at here, is at what
is
point...
Is everything press release worthy?
Well, that's my point here. At what point... Okay. At what point are you tangentially attached to the person? Now, had this been Ken Stiverson himself, I think this would have been a bigger deal. So
you don't think that Ken went and said, come on, right? It's my niece. I mean, you don't think that's a possibility?
If he did, that's wrong.
Is that a possibility? It's within the realm of reason when you've got Ray and Ken standing on Facebook with arm in arm with each other. I mean, arms around each other, smiling ear to ear. And my good buddy Ken, out serving coffee today with my good buddy Ken. I mean,
well,
it's within the realm of possibility that Ray said.
If Ken intervened, that's not good. I absolutely not. Absolutely not if Ken intervened.
And even if he didn't intervene, if Ray just saw the last name and thought, oh, that's my good buddy Ken's niece, you know, like the Twyla Lang situation, we can start pointing these out. It doesn't just have to be somebody that's running for office. Twyla Lang basically admitted to putting her hands on, well, she admitted to putting her hands on her grandchild. We can all interpret it however we want to. But it was to the point that the police were called by the school, and in this situation, the sheriff was called by the school. So we have two situations where the schools are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and either law enforcement or Ray Grogan is where those cases went to die. Now, we've got Ayers Ratliff and Brendan Dameron. They get arrested immediately, and their faces are splashed all over the internet.
What? But now... Okay, now isn't...
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing.
Perplexing.
Okay, why do you believe there was no charge here? What would the charge have been?
There's some felony statute.
Okay.
River Valley cited it.
Right, but...
It's cited in the letter by River Valley.
Okay, but would it be rape?
No, it's some kind of, like, inappropriate...
Right.
Conduct.
Okay.
It's not rape.
And unfortunately, like I've said before,
it's with a minor though. Kitty sex crimes.
No, but here's what I'm trying to listen. Nothing. I'm not trying to justify any.
Listen, he said he had sex with her, so that would be rape.
Okay,
now,
but
she admitted to a felony. He admitted to a bigger felony.
Okay, but again, I want to come back to this. I want to come back to the point again. People are raped, unfortunately, in this town more often than we ever hear about.
Yes,
it does not make, but you have to expect, and it's unfortunate, that the world we live in, if you are a sitting council member, if you are a member of the police force, that is going to get a lot more attention.
And if you were Naomi Craig making out with having sex with a kid in Dunham's parking lot, your face would be all over the front page of the newspaper.
Well, I don't know where the level is drawn, but I'm saying that's why I have to look at this thing.
The level is drawn is at the Republican Party, whether you donated or voted or supported them or not. That's where it is, locally.
Well,
that's where it is.
But again, I have to... If it is the person's niece, does the person have to live through that because it's their niece?
Hey, this one's on Ray Grogan. I'm not putting it on Ken Stiverson. I'm putting it on Ray Grogan.
Right,
and
but
Matt
you know this.
Putting it at their feet.
But you know this will brush off on Stiverson, who's running for office.
Well, he's their leader. He's the leader of their party, and if he really wanted to get ahead of it, come out and say, "My family shouldn't deserve any special treatment, and we should be treated like everyone else," and then let Ray argue that he's fair and impartial and prosecute that case.
Right, but do we know if they did have sex?
No, we don't know. He said that they did, but she said they kissed, and that in and of itself, when you're a teacher and a student, is a crime.
Well, okay. So kissing a student is a
crime.
Now, what crime would that be?
I will send it to you during the break.
Right.
It's quoted by River Valley.
And you, listen, nobody should be kissing their students. But
no,
I guess
you shouldn't be sending them texts and Snapchats and everything else.
No, I don't think you should. But I also know that this same, and I interviewed the guy, and I think this happened at River Valley as well, Mr. Bollinger, if I remember right, was involved in something very similar to this. I don't remember the particulars of the case, but he was a teacher there, and he was removed, I do believe. And I think there were accusations about a principal there at one point doing some, and none of these people were, to my knowledge, that I remember, prosecuted.
It sounds like their stories made, they weren't prosecuted.
Right. And that wasn't a political matter. I don't remember. I honestly...
So then why was theirs?
Well, I think probably...
You know, I know we can go back to the rape thing, but when you're talking about professionals having inappropriate relationships, that's equally as bad in my mind.
Well, listen...
Power structure. That's a power structure issue, which rape. That's what rape is about. But I know you've got to go to break.
I think this is worth talking about next hour, so stay tuned. But we'll take the break, and we'll come back. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Take care. Because he was the marshal some years ago of the Israeli Day Parade in New York City, where I, of course,